You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
I have a topic that I just thought of as I was making coffee. Did you ever go through a Belle and Sebastian phase?
Yeah, of course. Who hasn't?
I mean, appreciation.
I wouldn't say I've gone through like a deep appreciation, but yeah, there was a record in particular. I was just Googling it because obviously not deep enough to remember the album. But which one of these is it? Oh, Dear Catastrophe Waitress. Do you remember that record?
That's a great one. Oh, yeah.
That's 2003.
It's playing in my head right now.
Yeah, Dear Catastrophe Waitress.
I was making coffee, and I was looking at my dog, and I was like, I thought of the song I Love My Car, Bell and Sebastian song, because I was looking at my dog. I'm like, I love this dog. And then I thought of I Love My Car, and then started singing a version of it for my dog. But yeah, it just reminded me that I went through a pretty fevered Belle and Sebastian kick for a few years.
Yeah, I feel like I need to go back. There are a few bands like that where I know I love them, but I just never went through and did the full deep dive. You know, like you just catch some stuff here and there, and then that record in particular I got into just because my friend was obsessed with it, and so he was just playing it constantly in his car. And then I got hooked on it, so it just became something I was into. And
they were like really prolific for like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
They had a lot of albums come out.
Yeah, and they haven't done any. I mean, did they break up or did they just stop? Did they just kind of stop? Yeah, it looks like they put something out in 2020. That was the last thing they did.
Well, that's cool.
But that's the last thing I put out too, so I didn't break up. So maybe they're just working on something cool like me.
They're just kind of waiting for inspiration.
Just kidding. I'm not working on anything cool.
You're working on a lot of things. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You got all sorts of balls up in the air.
I guess.
We've started the podcast now, right?
Yeah. I hope. We're running out of time. We got like 100 calls today. We're so busy. We're such businessmen.
Yeah. So, everyone, welcome to Waveform. We decided to drop the intro, the official intro for this episode.
Which I'm a big fan of because I like, you know me. I'm always just like, you know.
Why even press record, you know?
Oh, did we press record even? Let me see.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm referring to the other.
I know, but that's a good.
Referring to the last time we did this.
Yeah, exactly, because that's a good point, because I don't very often. You know, I just like to go in guns blazing. You know, I just do what I do what I do, and however it ends up, all right?
Yeah.
But this is good. I'm happy to report I'm on very good internet right now, so we'll see. I don't want to, I mean.
Yeah, seriously.
We'll see how this works out, but finally, this building that I'm in has stepped into the future, and it has just decent internet that most people have been using for the last 15 years. I now have.
That's great.
I was on dial-up.
It's a long time coming.
56K modem.
So, let's see. Let's get into it. We've got, I guess the big announcement or the big news is that there's a little less than a week left in the Bitcoin record competition. So,
yeah.
Start boosting some music if you want to see it.
There's some cool stuff. And
enter the final round.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to sway anybody to anything in particular, but I will say, dig a little deep. There's some stuff down there. Like the top 21 tracks are going to make it into the next round. So there's some incredible stuff in the top 21, but there's also some really cool stuff kind of inching up, post 21. So I'd go check it out. And if anything, just go to listen to that playlist. It's a great playlist. It's got some really cool songs on it, just in general. So it's a good place to start if you're new to Wavelake. Although if you're new to Wavelake, you're probably not listening to this.
True. It is nice. It's all of this has been kind of an experiment in crowdsourcing what goes on this record using sats as a measure. And I think, I think it's been going pretty well in terms of what's been rising to the top. I feel like, you know, people generally have good taste from
really?
What I've seen.
Yes, absolutely. some cool stuff. I'm a big fan of many of the tracks that are in the top 21 right now. In fact, I would say all of them.
The other thing we want to mention is we mentioned it on the last episode. We've been doing our best to communicate it via email and socials and stuff, but Lightning addresses are available to add to your account on Wavelake now. So you can have all your earnings go to any valid Lightning address. I don't know how many people have signed up for it. At least a few dozen have.
And it's working too. So that's really good news.
Yeah, it's a super... Thanks for the vote of confidence. It is working. And it's nice. I've been using it. I think you've been using it too.
I have. And although, hey, can I report a bug on the podcast?
Let's hear it.
I won't report a bug on the podcast because it's probably not. This is probably one of those things where I'm just an idiot and I don't want to embarrass myself.
So okay.
I'll report it later.
Okay.
I'll report it in private where you can just make me feel stupid instead of everyone else.
Well, now I'm just going to be thinking about this for the rest of the episode. Anyway, the Lightning address option is nice. It auto withdraws. We call it an auto forward to your account every time you hit a certain number of earnings. It's convenient and it's cool
really
to see
cool.
it pop up in your wallet.
Yeah, I was checking it out last night in my Zeus wallet. Shout out to Zeus. I was pumped to see those forwards coming in. So yeah, if you haven't set that up, go do it. It's great.
Yeah, just to quickly clarify, we will send you all your earnings if it adds up to at least one sat. If it is one sat though, it will take like a day before you receive it because it's just such a small transaction.
We're hoping more transactions come in so we can send a bigger amount, but if it doesn't then that's okay. I was a little confused by that the other day,
but you'll see a steady, if you're getting 100 sats boosts, 100 sat boosts or 200 sat boosts here and there, you'll see those throughout the day.
I do want to figure out though why it doesn't, maybe it's a Zeus thing, why it doesn't show me that it's from Wavelake when it comes through, because that was cool when you showed me that yesterday, that it shows the auto forward from Wavelake or whatever. But
yeah, it should show.
I don't
it
see that in Zeus
on the
for
invoice. Maybe we can talk to Zeus about that.
Yeah, but, although I am on the test flight version, so it could just be something related to that.
Yeah, we're also upgrading our wallets because we're switching to another Lightning service provider, and so. If you want to just keep using your normal Wavelake wallet, just go to Studio and you just have to verify the region that you're in. And your wallet will be set up. And if you aren't, or if you're in a region that we can't support for some reason, then the Lightning address option is the one you should use to collect your earnings.
Yeah, and that's very important. And that's why that's one of the main reasons we did that, so everyone can still continue to use Wavelake without any trouble.
Shall we go to the mailbag?
We got the mailbag. Yeah, let me pull up the track here.
Boosts, messages, zap, boost, zap, give it a boost, zap, give it a boost, zap, boost, zap, boost. See if you've got any messages.
You've got boost. Boost.
I've heard of audience participation shows, but this is ridiculous.
I love that person.
Thank you.
At the end.
Thank you, Tone Wrecker. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
So we had Shy Kids on last episode. They played that great new track, and someone
so
anonymously
awesome.
on Fountain just sent a message saying, I can't wait to hear the whole album. I, too, cannot wait to hear that whole album.
Such a wonderful band.
Yeah. That was a great chat. Ryan Zach also messaged saying, great show, great interview, keep pushing. Thanks, Ryan. And then Tone Wrecker, who made that little bumper we just heard.
Is this another haiku?
A poem? Yeah, haiku.
Is this another
Optimism wins. It is. Optimism wins. Artists will wield many tools. Enjoyed the insights.
Love it.
Thanks, Tone. Thanks, Tone Wrecker.
There's a game that we play at my with when my family gathers, at the family gathering, the gathering of the juggalos is what some people call it. You have all these little magnet words, and then you have to piece them together. Like there's a prompt, and you have to piece them together. These tone record things, these haikus often remind me of that game. It's very fun. Forget what it's called, but cool. Well, that was the old mailbag.
Yeah. And
keep the comments coming. Yeah. Everybody, thank
definitely,
you.
Please. We see them. Thank you for listening. Thanks for boosting. Shall we play a song? I've got one. I've got one that I have in mind. This is like a newer artist that showed up in the last couple weeks.
I'm excited. What do you got here?
It's the artist is Black Vulcanite.
Oh yeah, rad.
I don't know much about them. But anyway, this album I've been playing through quite a bit in my car. The album's called Black Colonialists, and the track is The Clock.
I know my eyes already like you, baby.
Shh. Filter shit. It's crazy because it ain't really much to it. You just picked all the right parts.
Yo, I could give you half a verse. I know this might sound perverse. I handle more girls in my life than a fucking octopus with eight arms. Drop an eight bomb, tell you to stay calm. Like I'm at the cash register, a gun aimed at your face palm. I'm ruder than you. You think it's nice to be whack, stand on the white side of the law, thinking it's nice to be black. I'm usually the kind of black guy who embraces a tan, known to bang white broads on exchange programs. Tell them hunker down, like you heard the sound of thunder clouds. You prank calling, well guess what? I got your number now. We free falling through the atmosphere. The art of fear is what we give you when it's rigged with the bomb for your career. I like to flow, but we both know the dams are closed. You dudes are killing hip-hop tumors, call you cancer foes. You rock the show, but I made it jump like antelopes. Now I'm backstage, promoters hand me cash and envelopes, and we out.
Clock. Man, this is how you navigate the dark. This is art, watch the metric spark, witnessing the gods from strange lands. Just a little rhyme from the basement. We open up a portal to the land of the ape, man. The clock. Man, this is how you navigate the dark. This is art, watch the metric spark, witnessing the gods from strange lands. Just a little rhyme from the basement. We open up a portal to the land of the eighth man.
You see, I got it. I put rappers in pockets, hopping. They thinking they popping, but they ain't popping. They barely average. I'm hopping over these fences. They smacking a homie senseless. Don't make sense with your sentences. I've been blessed with this essence of gab. Spit it with reckless or bad. Fuck what you thinking, you can't. I am a veteran, better than MCs. They dick riding, bandwagoning, fangirling everything. Set the fuck back down. Y'all not fucking with the team. Rogue man, rude boy, run them city. Now I mean, it's somebody, motherfucker. When me step up on this scene, run them. Say now I'm in a fucker with no wannabe. Now I'm about to bust up every one of these niggas. Lil niggas, you all lil niggas to me. You claiming that you God, but you barely even demi. Bring any, I make a bitch nigga feel femmy. You get me? I'm easy like Sunday morning, bruh.
Man, this is how you navigate the dark. This is art, watch the metric spark. Witnessing the gods from strange lands. Just a little rhyme from the basement. We open up a portal to the land of the ape, man. The clock, man, this is how you navigate the dark. This is art, watch the metal spark, witnessing the gods from strange lands. Just a little round from the basement. We open up a portal to the land of the ape man.
Though they may be confusing at times, learning to use these particles properly will greatly contribute to your fluency in Japanese. I know
my eyes. Great jam.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know much about them, but they, in their profile, says they're Namibian hip-hop and poetry group.
I just boosted, and you should too. Go back, rewind that, rewind on wherever you're listening.
Run that back and boost it.
Drop some sats, do some zaps.
Yeah, the album that's off of is really great, though.
It's super cool. I suspect this is a little older, possibly, and which is something I love about.
Maybe a few years, but not that old.
Yeah, I don't think it's that old. It's something that I think is so cool about Wave. Like, people talk about it all the time, but just that you can sort of revive projects.
Yeah, up something from the archives.
Yeah, even if it's just a couple years old, it's cool to get some new ears on it. And music is evergreen.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so A couple things I think I just wanted to share, and this is more for, I guess, like, it's for the artists and as well as, like, any, like, client developers that are out there.
Yeah.
We just went live with, we're a little slow on this sometimes, so forgive us for taking a bit to get to this. But we have genres included in all our feeds now. So if you set the genre for an album or a podcast, it will now be included in the RSS feed that goes out, and so then it can be easily categorized by whatever apps are consuming it. So this applies to both music and podcasts. We've talked to a couple people about this, Sam over at True Fans, Oscar over at Fountain, and they've been kind of gently nudging us to do this for a while. So thank you guys for the nudge.
Because genres are always sort of weird. I guess it's kind of a hot topic anyway, because it's like, what is a genre? You know, when you put music into specific categories, you just are sort of throwing it in a box. So, I mean, early on, we weren't even going to do any genre stuff, but then you realize it's kind of a necessary evil. Once a catalog gets big enough, you want to start sorting stuff out, you know, and that's what all these other clients are wanting to do too. So, I'm pumped that even though I tend to lean on the with team no genre, because they're typically kind of stupid, it is helpful.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think, especially when you're a musician or an artist, like, if someone asks you, what kind of music do you make? It's so hard to answer that question.
Yeah, it's like, what kind of music is Beck? You know, it's like alternative, right. I guess. It's like, okay, tell me about, tell me if this Beck album is alternative. I don't know if that is.
Exactly. And it's not because you're trying to be like coy about it. It's just when you're the person making it, you know, it can be sometimes difficult to like categorize the thing you made.
Yeah,
because it comes from so many different places. But yeah, from like just in terms of, I think the biggest use, the most useful thing about genres is helping people find your music. It's not necessarily meant to like put you in a box. It's just, you know, for people to be able to find it more easily. And we're trying to do this in a smart way. So we have a GitHub repo up. It's called Genres. It's under the Wavelake organization in GitHub. And this is just an open source list of music genres that we sort of borrowed, curated, edited based on some work that had already been done, just so we could standardize on a set of genres and subgenres, just so there's some consistency across the different clients that might be consuming music genres in this new, like, podcasting 2.0 Noster driven world. So, yeah, please like reference that if you're a developer out there or if you're an artist to see the categories that we've got laid out. We've had like one or two people give us some feedback, and we've added some genres as a result of that feedback, but you know, it's open to be, it's open to PRs if people want to make changes or requests to add or update the genre list that we have.
Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't done so already, go add yourself, go add your music to something, go put yourself in some box, please. It will be helpful because it is going to be good. I mean, it'll be great for
discovery.
You know, yeah. Discovery through charts and there's all kinds of reasons to do it, you know? So
yeah,
I'm excited.
Another technical note, we also have artists' feeds now, or artist feeds.
Yeah, explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so it's following a proposal / spec in the Podcasting 2.0 namespace, where you would essentially have these parent feeds that reference feeds that are related to it. So in our case, if you are like Sam, and you have a bunch of albums published under that artist identity, then now there's an artist feed, an RSS feed, that essentially just says, this is Sam, and then here are references to all the different albums that are published as RSS feeds under him. So it's a way for clients to be able to show an artist page and then easily be able to reference all the albums and singles associated with that artist.
Yeah, yeah, that's much. So I'm just thinking like, yeah, like True Fans or something. So it could just pull in a single feed instead of having to pull in all these multiple feeds. The single feed could reference
right
everything individually. Yeah.
We still have to, you know, document all this. So
yeah,
I'll do that. We'll put out a blog post, or we'll update a repo, or I don't know. We'll.
And I feel like
we're still thinking
about
how to communicate
this,
all this.
Can we use this to also connect additional artists, like additional projects under these feeds? I know we can't do that right now, but will the same?
Oh, like under a label.
Yeah, like for labels, or if I have, or like Tone Wrecker has multiple, you know, artist titles, but it's essentially him, and he may want all that stuff to be under there, under one profile, or yeah, like a record label might, like Rubber Factory Records might want to put all of their releases under a single thing and have those be individual artists instead of the way that they do it now. Maybe that.
Right.
Would.
Yeah. The publisher feeds proposal is, it could apply to any sort of parent child or parent children relationship with feeds.
That's
so
cool.
That's all doable. Yeah. They call it publisher feeds. The idea behind it being like a podcast publisher or, you know, distributor sort of referencing all of the podcasts related to it, but you could apply this to a lot of different use cases. So yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I wanted to talk quickly about this tweet that you sent out. I think it was last week or in the last week or so. You wrote that you got 1 million sats on Wavelake for 7,000 streams, which averages out to like 10 cents or 10 cents or thereabout.
I think it was like, I don't even think it was 7,000 streams, was it? Maybe it was. I don't know. But
I
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, it was.
It averaged out to 10 cents ish a stream.
Yeah, which seems to be pretty. Anytime
it
anyone
seems high,
has, it seems
compared to anything else.
Well, I mean, I've seen higher. It's. I mean, I track all this stuff monthly, and it's. The average has been anywhere, like I've seen it up to like 15, 17 cents, something like that on an average, just for like an overall like rolling average. But when I do, when other people post this, it is around there. It's like 10 cents, 12 cents. Sometimes it's 8 cents, you know, like we've had several artists post things like this where they're like, you know, maybe they post a little, screenshot of their other distributor thing. And it's like, 19 cents or something total who knows how many streams, but then yeah, comparatively it does seem to be outperforming quite a bit. And I think, I mean, I'm happy to see, you know, a year and some change later, like it's still pretty consistently getting higher, or at least maintaining that level, you know, maintaining around that area, because there's a lot of buffer there. Like even if it gets down to a penny, I mean, a penny is what I think we were for a minute going to talk about that Living Wage for Musicians Act. And that's like their main goal is to just get it to a penny. Like, let's just try to get it to a penny, which is funny because it used to be a penny. And there was more. I feel like there was some competition a while back between streaming services. Like some would just pay more. Like I remember the Google Play Store paid more, like Sony PlayStation had a music streaming service that was paying a lot. I can't remember what it was, but it was like 4 cents or something, 4 or 5 cents. And I remember even regionally, like different regions of Spotify would pay more. Like I think Spotify started in the Netherlands, maybe.
Yeah,
if I'm right.
So.
And I coincidentally had a song that was doing pretty well over there in the Netherlands years ago, and I just lucked out. I was like, oh wow, this is crazy. Why are these streams so high? And it was because the Netherlands Spotify was paying more. Deezer was one that's really big in the Netherlands, and they pay a lot higher, or at least used to. I'm assuming they probably still do, but it is weird how it just got watered down and watered down and watered down. And there was that. I mean, I'm getting a little bit off track here today, but that's okay. Did you see the other thing that they were talking about the other day, like with the bundling and how the royalty rates are going to continue to get even more watered down? I feel like I don't fully have a grasp on how it's going to work, but it was the gist was like Spotify isn't just music anymore. So the it's podcasts and music. And now with this introduction of audiobooks, your subscription value is now a bundle. Your subscription is now a bundle. So the value of that monthly subscription fee is now distributed as a bundle, despite the fact that whatever percentage of people are obviously using Spotify for music, they're going to strip it out in a way that it's going to get split between music and podcasts. And that's how they're going to determine the royalty rate based on the fact that your subscription is now a bundle rather than a music subscription, which will probably ultimately lead to more weirdness and, you know, maybe,
and less money for musicians.
Absolutely. Which is a big flex considering what's going on in with this, this Living Wage for Musicians Act. It's just such weird, it's weird timing, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about that real quick. So there's this, the website is weareumaw.org. It's the United Musicians and Allied Workers. It's a nonprofit organization that advocates for artists. But yeah, they have a proposal for a bill, and it's the Living Wage for Musicians Act. And according to them, it's built to pay artists a minimum penny per stream, an amount calculated specifically to provide a working class artist a living wage from streaming. I think the motivation is definitely something that I can get behind and support. But I wonder if this is, I wonder how effective this will actually be in terms of creating, you know, a fair system for artists. My gut tells me that this is never going to, this won't make much of a difference.
No, I mean, you gotta hand it to somebody for trying, you know. It's,
yeah,
this system's there. Everybody, anyone who makes music has music on these platforms, and so if they succeed in with this act, it will be better, you know, like it will be better because it will create a baseline of one penny per stream on every platform, which will significantly increase the revenue for artists. It's not, I mean, calling it like a living wage, I don't know if that's a little misleading, because that's absolutely not true, you know. I have 7200, this tweet that you were mentioning that I did, like I have 7200 streams. Even making 10 cents a stream, I think at the time that was about you know, it's like $700, $720 or something like that is what that breaks down to at 10 cents.
Yeah.
Right. Even so, at a penny, you know, it's like, and that's, yeah. I'm not a huge artist, obviously, but, I think where this penny is going to really be powerful is for the big artists that already have revenue sources, have revenue streams, and they're able to, they have a living wage in music already. Your average artist who gets, you know, I would say, I look a lot at, the tiers of these artists, and it's a big part of what I do with the merch stuff and just kind of calculating how things are going to go. And like the average artist has, you know, may have 10 to 20,000 listeners per month, which is not, it's not nothing, you know, but it's not, I mean, especially if you have a whole band, it's not necessarily going to get you there. And it's also limiting. Like it's just, that's why I think a lot of people have tagged us in tweets about this, you know, and I would say I don't want to fight against it. I think it's cool. I think it should happen, you know, absolutely should happen, because it's at least something, you know. But is this the long-term solution? No, of course not. I don't think this is the long-term solution at all. I think just like anything else, loopholes will be figured out through these. It's probably why they're introducing this bundle thing, because it's probably some like early stage loophole to get out of this if this happens, where they could say like, oh sure, yeah, we will pay a penny per stream, you know, but
yeah,
this is our loophole. It's the way that we create the paywall with the gate with the monthly subscription. It's how the royalties are, you know, this convoluted way of how they're structured based on the whatever the monthly fee is. and see if we do all this math, it is a penny per stream, kind of, you know, but it's not really. It's just like when you look at major label accounting or something, it's like on the surface it's supposed to be this, but then by the time everything's calculated, it the bottom line number looks very different, and it's designed that way. It's designed to just confuse you.
I guess that's my main skepticism with these kinds of laws or bills, or just, you know, working through the government or legislation to try and close these loopholes or improve the ways that some of these companies are using artists. My skepticism is that the technology will always outpace any sort of legislation or legal act that you want to, you know, put in place to improve the system. It, like, technology will just keep evolving, and like you said, the people will keep creating loopholes, and the law is just going to have to play catch up all the time,
right?
And then the other part of it is, yeah, I think, you know, they're saying a minimum penny per stream. It just seems a little, why not aim higher? And I think that's the beauty of these sort of voluntary payment systems, where you just pay what you want for the art that you enjoy. The beauty is that there is no ceiling, and that there's no set minimum, but there's also no set maximum. And so the amount that someone could send you is limitless, theoretically. And I think that's where this really shines, is when you give people the opportunity to express their appreciation however they want to. There's a lot of potential there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
shall
I
we
just...
play...
I was just, oh. I, they have this cool little calculator, and it's just funny looking at it. It's like, with the, if this goes through, your new total for 7,200 streams would be $84, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, living, stack that against the tweet. It's like $84, a million sats. I mean,
yeah.
You know?
These kinds of attempts to fix a broken system, you know, again, like, I appreciate what they're trying to do, but it also feels like you're working within the system to fix it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you're working within a system that broke you.
Right.
And, like, trying to fix that system. It's like...
But it's still worth a shot. And because you could say the same... I mean, it would be disingenuous to say we're any different, you know? Like, it really, ultimately, it's like we're... This isn't the, like, end-all, be-all solution. Wavelake is not the answer at all. There's so many things that have to happen in order for Wavelake or, you know... Anything like this to succeed. Like, we are just... I mean, I think sometimes we get, you know, get some people talking trash or whatever, but it's like, we're just a stepping stone to the next thing, and we're willing, more than willing, to adapt with whatever the thing is. You know, we're just participants in an idea... and we're participants that are just trying to get somewhere that's better than where we are. And so I can appreciate what they're doing with that, because we're doing the same thing, you know, and it's, we have a lot. I mean, yeah, the expectation that you're going to be able to all of a sudden make a livable wage with a penny a stream is not accurate, because there are so many variables there and so many different levels of artists. And it's the same thing can be said for what we're doing, because, you know, there are plenty of people on Wavelake who haven't made anything, and there are plenty of people on Wavelake who have made something, you know? So, and the fact that I made a million streams is a fun tweet to do, but the reality of that situation is that was over a year, you know, it's like 700 something bucks over a year. It's not that great, you know, it's not that great, but it is better. It is much, much better. So it's just, you know, I think, yeah, I mean, we're just going to keep sort of riding this wave and doing the best we can, and also just being open to feedback and suggestions. And it's so exciting, especially with Nostr development and stuff. Like, there's just so many cool things happening on the periphery for other things that are fun to sort of hitch our wagon to. And that is maybe a little bit of a segue into how we got started into our mobile app and what we wanted to talk about next was really a result of that. Like, we launched Wave Lake in January, or relaunched Wave Lake in January of 23. Mm-hmm. And in December of 22, you know, Noster kind of started being a thing that people were starting to look at because of a Jack Dorsey tweet, you know, like, I forget what he said, like, Noster's cool or whatever. So people started going and checking, and then all of a sudden it went from like 50 people on there to a couple thousand or something, and has been growing ever since. But yeah, we weren't expecting to, we didn't know about Noster really prior to this. I'd heard about it on a couple podcasts, but it started showing some cool, started bringing things to light that we didn't think we were going to be able to get to for a long time. And so we focused on it a little bit. And out of that, out of Noster and kind of the enthusiasm for what could potentially be built on that, we did what?
Well, let's play a song first and then we'll get to that.
Oh, you want to do that? Yeah. I'm going to play, yes. Thank you for keeping us on track. I like this artist.
That's my tease.
Yes.
You got to stay tuned.
Yes. It's the cliffhanger. So Alicia Stockman is great. She's uploaded a few tracks, quite a few tracks actually on Wavelake. And this one just came out, I think maybe yesterday, or at least
she seems to be having fun, which is really great to see.
Yeah. And she is actively releasing new music, which is cool, because there are, like, you know, we talked about people releasing old projects, which is fun, but she's a very current artist releasing new music, releasing singles. And this one that she just came out with is called Love Song, and let's check it out.
Whenever I'm alone with you,
Nice one.
Yeah, so if you feel like you've heard that song before, you maybe have by a different group called The Cure. It's a cover song of a classic track by The Cure, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, that's a really stylized cover.
Yeah, it's like you get a little bit of some, you know, Mazzy Star vibes to it. Yeah. And
she takes some like some of the ways she changes the melody are a little darker too.
There's yeah.
Like these,
yes.
There's a darkness to this one that's interesting that I don't think is in
yeah,
the
some cool tones. She brings some really unique flavor to that one for sure. So great job, Alicia Stockman. Awesome.
Keep bringing the music, Alicia.
Yes, and yeah. And once again, and we forgot to say
yeah.
Sorry, I'm joking.
We're working on this.
Yeah, go go
run
you know,
that back.
Back up.
Run that back.
Run that back. Listen to it again. Zap it. You know, if you're listening to it in Wavelake, you can go. We gotta figure that out. We gotta get the, you know, like if you're listening to the podcast and the song plays, you can add it. I think you could do that in Fountain and other
oh,
things.
Yeah.
So we gotta do that too. We're slacking.
That'd be nice.
Slacking, buddy.
We'll get on it, Chief. All right.
All right. So what are we gonna? Oh yeah. What was our huge cliffhanger? We were gonna talk about how we got into Noster and yada yada yada.
Yeah. So I guess the announcement is we have this kind of toy website app that we built almost exactly a year ago called Waveman. This was done basically as a kind of experiment, hackathon. Josh, our first hire, our developer, had just joined, and we had been, like, you and I had been talking for a couple months about Noster and just,
yeah,
what is this thing? It's kind of interesting. There's some cool stuff going on. Is there a way that we can participate and somehow get music going on Noster in an interesting way? And the outcome of that was this Waveman project, which it's still up now, but I should say we are going to be retiring it, sadly.
Play the sad trombone.
Yeah. My son, actually, you know, we have a bunch of Waveman stickers. Those are his favorite stickers. He loves those.
Yeah, what am I going to do with all those stickers now?
Just send them to me. I'll just give them to my kid. Yeah, we're going to be retiring it for a few different reasons. Mainly, it's sort of become obsolete.
Yeah.
Not even sort of. It's become obsolete.
It's become obsolete.
We built it sort of, I mean, Noster was still very early, even earlier than it is today. Noster is still pretty new. But it was even less defined a year ago than it is today in some ways. And, you know, we made some choices just to get the app to work. So things like creating these this new event kind to support tracks and track metadata. Looking back, knowing what we know now, we made some, like, poor choices. But, you know, not for a lack of trying. We just had no idea what any of this would look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. We learned a ton about Noster and sort of how it works, some of the limitations, some of the advantages of it along the way. And yeah, the outcome of that, it was like a 2-week sprint. I think we just were like, we're going to do this. We're just going to try to build this crazy idea in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And just put it out in the world and see what happens. And yeah, it was really fun to build. And it was fun to see people's reactions to it because it is super, it's really cute. Like, I love the way that we designed it. I will say, like, the way it worked and the way it looked was really cool.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's kind of like an iPod mixed with a Game Boy mixed with like a Walkman.
Yes. And that was kind of the inspiration for the visual design. But yeah, the technical architecture underneath it all. I mean, we knew going into it that a lot of this, you know, might be thrown away at some point. And like specifically that event kind that we built, never really got adopted. And so, I mean, that's the main thing that's kind of been obsoleted. There is some interesting, discussion now, about another event kind that would support tracks on Noster, and so that's moving along nicely. That we'll see where that goes too. I mean, you never know with these things if they'll actually get adopted. But yeah, Waveman was cool, and it essentially laid the groundwork and prepared us to build the mobile app.
Which is obviously where we need to put the focus on now. Although, I mean, Waveman could still live on, right? Like somebody could, it's on GitHub. Somebody could take it and do something with it.
True. Yeah. Right? It's open source and
yeah.
You're free to mess around with it, fork it,
reskin
whatever.
It, do something, make it. Yeah. You know, someone could take the torch and make their own version of Waveman. That would be fun to see that live on.
Yeah. I don't know what you're going to do with all those stickers. How many do you have?
I actually don't have any left.
Oh really? They're all gone.
Yeah, no, because we something broke on Waveman. What, like 2 months ago or something?
A
few times, but something broke, and we had discussed like maybe it's time to
pull the cord
here. Yeah, close the curtain. Whatever you want to say. So I started aggressively. I mean, I hand out Waveman stickers in Lightning. Hand out Wave Lake stickers and other things in Lightning Store orders, but I started aggressively giving out Waveman stickers, and then it was good timing. Like we just ran out and I didn't reorder them. I just reordered the other ones. So we actually don't have any, unfortunately.
Maybe it will get a second life someday, but for now, we're going to retire it. And it's been a year. And what I think the kind of neat thing that came out of it, in addition to us being able to build the mobile app, you know, more in a more informed way based on the Waveman experience. We're in the middle of another hackathon.
Yeah, it started a tradition for the annual Wave Lake hackathon.
Yeah, so we're in the middle of a hackathon now, and I guess stay tuned for the release of what we're building. But we're building something that I think is pretty cool, and we'll talk about it more, I think, on the next episode.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. Got some couple people have been. You could piece together some things here for what we have cooking. If you tried really hard, you could probably figure it out.
I mean, not to give it totally away, but like there is a GitHub repo just sitting with a very obvious description. If someone wants to do some detective work.
We're not incredibly great at. We're not incredibly discreet with.
This isn't a big secret, but it is like an open source project we're building. So, and I think we're building it in a way that hopefully will be easy for anyone else to like replicate if they want.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned. Yeah, like we said, we're just doing shit. All right.
we're just trying things.
Just trying some stuff out. So
yeah, and like is what I've been saying throughout the whole process of this new service that we're building or application that we're building. I don't know. I approach a lot of things this way, and maybe it's just a way to shelter my ego from being bruised too badly from the outcome. But I go in with the attitude of like this could all totally fail. Like I just go in with this whole thing might be garbage. And
that's what I tell myself in the morning, in the mirror every morning. Out loud. I say it out loud. I repeat it 3 times. This whole thing might be garbage.
Yeah. But but that never stops me from trying, because sometimes it works. Not every time, but sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, how does anything ever get done if you don't try it? You got to do something. There's lots of,
Yeah.
I'm stoked to try stuff out. That's the fun part about being early. I mean, it's like, it's painful sometimes being painfully early, but it's also really cool because you can try stuff out and get away with it if it doesn't work very well or Doesn't work at all.
just work at creep all. Away.
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
as if nothing happened.
Insert Homer Simpson backing into Bush's gif.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, I had to. I was just gonna like go back to the genre thing really quick, just because I wanted to keep talking about that forever.
Okay.
No, but I had to ask my friend because I just got back from New York, but we were at a music festival over the weekend, and we were talking to some bands, and we found out there's a genre called egg punk, and I couldn't think of it, and so I had to ask him because I wanted to mention it here. But this just shows you how silly genres are and can be, because neither of us, I mean, we're pretty well versed in music, and neither of us had ever heard of egg punk. But the definition is egg punk is a mostly internet based genre that started in the Northwest Indiana, influenced by Devo and a hatred for the us versus them mentality of the emerging chain punk, which I also don't know what that is. So, I mean, genres are getting
really specific.
Really, yeah. Like, and when I was a band in Arizona, we were called Desert Pop, which was something that was sort of, I think,
I've
invented.
Heard of that genre before, I feel like, or maybe I've just seen it on your profile.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't. I feel like it was invented for us at the time. Maybe it's, I mean, it's been years, and maybe it's,
yeah,
maybe it's, maybe it's, I mean, up there with egg punk now, but
yeah, for all the genres that we're familiar with, I'm sure there are thousands that have just been like laid to waste,
but I gotta say,
in history.
Yeah. But I gotta say, I like the more fun ones though. I like egg punk and chain punk and desert pop. It's very specific and just shows how kind of silly they are, but
it's just whether they stick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Northwest Indiana punk, huh?
Yes, this is, yeah, not only is it just like Indiana punk, it's
that's not
Northwest Indiana punk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Chicagoland region. It's Northwest Indiana.
I mean, dude, there's an entire Wikipedia page, as I'm sure you can imagine, for punk rock subgenres. I mean, there's Afropunk, anarcho-punk, art punk, Christian punk, my favorite, crust punk, death rock, egg punk, garage punk, glam punk, hardcore. I mean, it just goes on.
Yeah.
Through the whole alphabet.
Maybe we should add egg punk to our list.
Oh, there. What's troll punk? Okay. Yeah, I have some research to do. All right, so we're done. Are we done?
Yeah, I think we're done.
We're going to close this out?
Yeah.
Close the old...
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Yes.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Check out mixtape from last week. What are we on, volume? That was volume 7?
That was 7, yeah.
Yeah.
And what episode is this of Waveform? 8? I keep getting confused. I feel like they should be the same, but they're not. I get confused. So.
Waveform is one ahead of mixtape.
Yeah.
So we're on 8 now.
Yeah, we did Waveform first. Okay, cool.
Yeah. We're running a tight ship over here.
Pretty tight ship. It's a gaming ship. Okay. A little throwback.
All right.
Rest development pants. Okay, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by WaveLake. WaveLake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.